glad to have you this morning. And sometimes on a Sunday morning when camp meeting comes and comes in like this, on a Sunday, we usually have people out of the different states that come around and they get here kind of early and they take part. And what we're doing just before we get underway with the camp meeting, whether you're not this morning, I don't know, but we're glad to have you if you are here. We have a couple of missionaries. I don't think they're here yet. Someone was supposed to pick them up this morning, running a little late. But one of the brothers out of Kenya, Africa, he's actually coming in from Paris, France. And he was wanting us to come over in Paris and minister to him there in Paris, France. We've been into Paris a number of times, but never ministered there. A lot of our literature has gone out. And we'd had an invitation to go into Paris and then to go into London. And we just never got around to it. And having one there to Paris, and we like for you to pray about those kind of things, because wherever we get invitations, sometimes we can go, sometimes we can't go. Or we tried to go around the world as much as we could. The Lord, being good to us, has taken us around the world, and we preached in different places around the world. Been across the world numbers of times. But we're glad to do whatever we can. These missionaries are with us, or will be with us in just a little bit. And one's out of India, one out of Kenya. We have quite a few brethren coming in from Nigeria, Kenya, India, and different places at different times, sometimes out of Malaysia. But we're home, folks, and we're here on the home front, and this is a launching pad to send the gospel into all the world. Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. Paul said, your faith is spoken of throughout the world, and indeed it is. And the minister going all around the world, your literature, and as many or more than every major language of the world. And we're doing what little we can to brighten this corner. And everybody that helps us has a reward. For if you bid something Godspeed, then you're partakers of it. If you hinder it, then you cause problems. And if you cause problems and hinder it, if you trouble the people of God, he said, I'll trouble you. But if you want to be blessed, the Bible said, believe my ministry, or the prophets, and you'll be blessed. Confess your sins, forsake your sins, whatever you do will prosper. Cover your sins, and you won't do anything that prospers. You'll make much, you'll bring it home, and I'll blow on it, it'll come to little. You'll put it into bags with holes in it, because you let my house lay waste. And I'll bring a curse upon you, and cursed shall thou be in the morning when you get up. Cursed shall thou be when thou goest into thine house at night. Cursed shall ye be in the field. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb. All of your blessings I will curse, he said, because you've let my house lay waste. But if you'll do the things I tell you, honor me with your substance and your life and your strength, to love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, he said, blessed shall thou be in the morning. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy womb. Blessed shall be the cattle of thy kind and the fruit of thy field. And I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing from the storehouse of God. I'll open the windows of glory that you'll not be able to contain. You'll have to share it with someone. America is in a terrible problem. They've forgotten God, and because they've forgotten God, they've become sodomites, fornicators, whoremongers, liars. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. They're going hard after their human senses and the flesh and the body. They have no time for the spirit. They have no understanding of God, going to seminaries and getting all kind of diplomacies and whatever from institutions, and getting worse all the time and more paganistic than ever before, and leaving God out. America has become the biggest bunch of heathens in all the world. Now, that a lot of people would contest that in a minute, and you're privileged to do that. But nevertheless, it's a true fact. I travel around the world. We go again and again, and America is the most heathenistic place in all of the world. in Africa, in the deep parts of the jungle, Haiti's, and the places where we'll go where they have witch doctors. They are not as heathenistic as America is. I've never seen anything like it, never in the world, as the way it is in America. And America was the great, wonderful place of civilization, people who had the love of God, who was concerned about their fellow man. That's always been the great, mighty America, the land of the free and the brave, the land of liberty with justice for all. Now she has become a cage of every unclean and every hateful bird. The Bible speaks of the church becoming a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. He speaks of the churches and he said, they're my tables and all of them are filled with vomit, he said. They're lukewarm. They're religiously lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. You'll become vomit on my tables. And they're lukewarm, very religious, but not living for God. Neither do they care for holiness. And yet we're told that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For God is the spirit of holiness and the only spirit of life. I've said this so many times, even the Catholic people know that. They call the Pope his holiness, which of course is a blasphemous thing. But nevertheless, they do have enough understanding to know that we're supposed to be following holiness. The Bible said in the coming era of time, as to the millennium, holiness will be everywhere. Holiness will be on the horses' bridles. When the ladies go to cook and they go into their kitchens, it'll be holiness unto the Lord on the pots and pans. It'll be holiness as it was in the days of Aaron when he went before God in the holiest of holies. He added across the little mite up here, holiness unto the Lord. See, so it's a terrible time for America. She's right now fixing to be judged of God and brought into the fire. She's fixing to be overthrown and completely devastated and left as it was in Egypt when he turned Egypt into a heap of ashes. She's right on the verge of it. The church ages are now at an end. Even this camp meeting that we're having right here has to do with that. And now America is at an end and her people are at an end and they're farther from God than ever before. Churches are filled with people, but they're doing all the things of the world, and they've tried to mix darkness with light. All kind of things they're doing. They're not barring anything anymore, and they're just as worldly as they can be. Whereas the Bible said concerning the people of God and the world, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. But the church world has incorporated all those things that are out in the world in the church activities. And today you can't tell the church from the world, and you can't tell darkness from light anymore. They've tried to mix darkness with light, and their intellectual darkness of human reasoning, by this they've transformed themselves into ministers of light, as to the ministry itself, even Satan having transformed himself into an angel of light, as to a religious thing, and you can't tell anymore what's what. The Bible said it would be so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible, which that's not possible, but it's so close with the religious activities of today. It's so terrible. I was telling somebody yesterday, the ministry, I watch him come out of India and I watch him come out of Africa. And those men that are supposed to be leading those people over there and all through America, I see them the same way. They're supposed to be leaders and supposed to be preachers, supposed to be the minister, and they're running around in shorts over there among their congregation and teaching their people that they can do these things that's ungodly, you know, and still getting millions of dollars, drawing it out of America and different places, taking it back over there, living like heathens over there, you know, and deceiving the people. And God is letting devastations hit them, one earthquake right after another, one sorrow right after another, one famine right after another. And now it's striking America, struck Russia, all these kind of things. Just about the time that Sister Betty and I went into Russia, we was praying for the Iron Curtain to come down, giving out literature, being apprehended by the authorities over there over and over. It's about that time that the great earthquake hit over in there. Seeing God's tired of all these kind of things. He's tired of their foolishness. I told somebody not too long ago, I said, God is the one that put them on clothes in the garden. He was the one that put them on coats of skin. And it's not for me to take them off nor tell them that they can run around without clothing. As long as we are in this body, we need clothing on, because the sentence of death is in the body. and the dispute is over the body, and Satan is trying to turn it into a bunch of whoremongers and harlots and sodomites and strip them down to where they're naked like they was in the garden back there. When they were naked in the garden, they didn't have any shame because they didn't know anything about sin. But now they have the spirit of evil in their body, and there's no good thing in the flesh, and their mind is corrupt, and there's a continual warfare between the body and the soul, and you got to keep that body covered up. It's a beast. It's born as a beast into this world, born through Adam, and in Adam all die, but in Christ it's the new birth, it's the spiritual man. All are made alive. And you have to have a little understanding. You have to withdraw from the world and put the flesh down. The flesh likes to do things. It likes to spend, eat, drink, ride, frolic, go to all these things that this doesn't have any business going to. And the devil loves that because he'll have to go into the dry places if he's cast out. Like in the land of Gadara, when Jesus went into the land of Gadara and he met this legion in the tombs, it was torn by the demon spirits, and he ran to Jesus and fell down before him and cried out, "O thou Son of God, what do we have to do with thee? Have you come to torment us before our time?" And those demons knew that Jesus would torment them, and they said, "If you cast us out, let us go away into the herd of swines." And you remember the Bible, how they went away into the herd of swines, and the swines ran violently down the hill into a steep place and drowned before they'd let devils live on the inside of them. But anyway, there's still the gospel in the world, there's still the gospel light, and he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And this is one way that you'll always know whether or not a man is son of God, for the Bible speaks of the man of God as to whether he be son of God or not. That if these men that are preaching the gospel around the world, no matter if it's divine deliverance under the tents and the churches, the crusades, missionaries, or whatever, said, if these men had stood in my presence, God said, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. But in that they did not teach them holiness and turn them from their sins, nor teach them to go into perfection, perfecting their ways before God and perfecting holiness in the fear of God, he said, they didn't stand in my presence. They're after fame and popularity, and they're after money and all the things of the world and vanities of the world, and they're building them empires with millions and millions of dollars, and that's why they're falling like stars out of heaven. Well, anyway, we want to make reference back here to John, the first chapter, St. John, the first verse. We've referred to this now for a number of services. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld it as of the only begotten of God, the Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. Now, this morning, I'd like to talk to you just a few minutes about this, and I try not to get lengthy. I usually let you go real early. But now, from here through camp meeting, it's going to be a little bit different. Usually when camp meeting comes, folks as a rule don't want to leave early, even though this morning I'm sure some of you would like to just get on out and go to the cafe and these kind of things. So I tell you before I start, if I get a little lengthy, which I try not to, then just ease on out, go into the cafe. Nobody will be upset at you. Doors on all sides. Nobody will even hardly know that you left. And to just go on out, just don't trouble the others. Don't sit there wanting to go out while I'm trying to minister, because if you do, you let a spirit in that'll trouble the Spirit of God. But just ease on out. If you have to go somewhere, if you have to do something, that's fine. I love you. But I have nothing against you. Just do whatever you got to do, but leave the others and let them go on to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature, for the full reward, because we're right there at the end of the trail now. Everything is closing in, and there's some children of God that's really wanting to be sure that they get their diplomacy in God. So being in school for Christ, then we have to work with them the best way that we can. And this is one of the mornings that we have to work with them. So then, bear with us, be with us, and enjoy the wonderful things of God. If we say few things, we say many things. There are things that we talk about that are deep, deep, deep mysteries of God. The Bible said the mystery of God, great is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and caught up into heaven. And to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them. So then when we talk about these deep mysteries, sometimes we just exhort and we don't talk about the mysteries. Sometimes we talk about the mysteries and it takes a little while. And then even then when we talk about the mysteries, we only get just kind of a fragmental sort of a thing. And we're not really able to bring it in a continuity or a line upon line and precept upon precept in detail like we'd like to. But they do get a few fragmentals, and it goes on tapes, and it comes off of the tape into literature, and then it goes around the different parts of the world in books and whatever. So then just bear with us as to whatever we do here, as to the little that we do offer you, to where you can understand it. Many of the brethren outside, sometimes for hours, two or three times a day with two or three different groups, we expound the gospel sometimes over the late night or over the morning, bringing the great mysteries of God that you at the church never get and perhaps will never get. But these that followed Jesus, that follows Jesus in this day as they followed Jesus in that day, when I say that's Christ inside of us, when I say that, so then they that follow us, they get these mysteries because God's always speaking, always talking. And today I trust that he'll say a little something. It's not us speaking, but him. If I find hunger, thirst, it depends on the hunger and thirst. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And when you come in here, know how to conduct yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. And when you come in here, be hungry, be thirsty. For if you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled. And God will speak to you. Otherwise, I'll just preach to you and the Lord will inspire me. But if you go about it right, he will actually speak to you. And we're the temples of the living God. He dwells on the inside of us and he speaks to the people. He speaks through you to the people as the membership of his body. For God is within his temple, whose temples ye are. If you defile the temple, God will destroy it. If any man deny that Christ is presently living in the human body, he's an antichrist. So Christ does live within you. He is the hope of that wonderful glory. And you're transformed in mind from glory to glory, from faith to faith, to this wonderful change of that body will be made manifest in your mortal genes. So in this, when we talk to you about these things and we try to take our time to where we can just bring these things and detail them to you, to where you can catalog them, I have to just drift down away from my mind and down into a place with God to where it's real quiet and calm and a dove-like presence. I have to pull out of the places of my intellect and out of yours. And when you come here, you are a world within yourself. Every person is a world within themselves. Their mind can just go from everlasting to everlasting. And I have to get into the mind of Christ. And then when he starts speaking, he speaks gentle like a dove. And then as you begin to entreat, he begins to revelate and the light turns on within you and something begins to happen and you begin to see things like you've never seen in all of your life. This is always every day, 24 hours around the clock in the night, whenever you wake up, even in your dreams, this works. It don't ever stop. It don't ever give out. It's never exhausted. The supply is never exhausted. It's brand new all the time. Someone said, well, I can't believe that. That's because you don't know it. You've never seen it. You haven't even touched it. Had you known it, you would have known, I'm sure, what I'm saying is right. So then in this, we realize that God is with us and we're here as the children of God and where two or three have come together in his name. He's in the midst. Now we're making reference back to the beginning. I use the terms here in John, the beginning, because the Bible said in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. Or that is, in the beginning, God, the great Spirit, the great light. Or let's say like this, if I say in the beginning the Word, then that means that your mind will go back to the thoughts of the Word, something intellectual, something as a printed page of ink and paper, or something as an indoctrination, and your mind will go back to that because in the beginning was the Word. So I often do this. When I say in the beginning God, or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and that same Word came and became a human configuration as to form into flesh. See, and when I say this to you and your mind hurries back to the beginning, even all the way back to Genesis, though I am referring to the New Testament and St. John here, at the beginning of St. John, where he refers to this, but really your mind goes all the way back to Genesis, back to the garden. And that's why I use the term beginning here. And I tell you again, when we say in the beginning, I am saying in the beginning. And when I say in the beginning, I'm not saying in the beginning of God. You know this, I've said it to you many times. I'm not saying in the beginning of God. God hath no beginning. God is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. It's not in the beginning with God. God is the beginning of all things. So I say in the beginning, and when I say in the beginning was the Word, I say in the beginning Jesus, or in the beginning a fleshly body, or in the beginning you, because there was a beginning of you, and God created you out of the dust, and in the beginning there was a world, and there was dust, and there was elements, and God in the beginning created you. So the world was the beginning. But when I say God, I cannot say in the beginning God, because God was before the beginning. I would have to say, now come folks and let us go beyond the beginning. Let us go back beyond the beginning. See, because if I don't go back beyond the beginning, then I haven't really understood anything. Because if I just go back to the beginning, I'm no more than any other historian, whether it's taught in college, school, or taught in school, or whatever it might be. I mean, in church, or whatever it might be. It's just some conversation one to another. It's what we know, and we say history or his story, and that's all there is to it. See, and so we're just a historian. But the thing is, if I say, folks, let's go beyond the beginning, let's go back beyond the beginning, and if I go back beyond the beginning, then I can understand. Whereas someone would say, Brother Pike, certainly you are eccentric, you can't go back beyond the beginning. Well, I can. See, and anyone that's born of God can. But now, if you've never been born of God, you cannot. But see, before the world ever was, it's like God said to Job, and where was you, Job? See, even way back there when the morning stars sang together, or before they ever sang together, where was you, Job, when the sons of God leaped for joy? Before the foundation of the world, when the sons of God leaped for joy. And when Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. He said to the people, you come from the dust, to the dust thou shalt return. I didn't come from the dust. I'm not of this world. You're of this world. But I came from heaven and I go back to heaven. And he said, you're bone of my bone and you're flesh of my flesh. You're the very body and members of the great God body, of the great Jesus body. And I'm the head of the church. I'm the head of that body. So then I say, and so we go back beyond the beginning. And how can we go beyond the beginning? For the Bible said, they that are born of God are not anymore a living soul, but a quickening spirit. And they pass from the realms of a living soul to now a quickening spirit. And because they are quickening spirits, then they are equal to the angels. And he said, I make my angels spirits. So then they are equal to the angels and they dwell in heaven. So then God is dealing directly with your angelic being, which is the angelic one on the inside that's called the second man within you, the Lord from heaven. He's dealing with your spirit on the inside, and you are an angelic being living in a little tabernacle of clay, a little body of clay in this little house. And Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel to stir up your Christ mind or your pure mind. He said, for God has shown me short, I must put off this my tabernacle. But if this tabernacle be dissolved, and the Bible said it will at the brightness of his coming, then I have another tabernacle, or rather a temple, a body, a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, which is the body of the Lord Jesus. If I born the image of the earthy as to Adam as to a tabernacle, as an Adam all die because of his sin, then I'll bear the image of the heavenly as to the Lord Jesus the resurrected, for he is the temple that dwells in the very presence of Almighty God in the Spirit, and I put him on. The Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized into Christ, and put on Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desire thereof, in that the original rendering of the word lust is desire. Don't have any desire for the flesh. If you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father isn't there. But see, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So when we think about these things, I say, let's go back beyond the beginning. So how can I go back beyond the beginning? Because I do not dwell in the body. I've been chosen out of the flesh. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. My innermost being, my spiritual being, has been translated into the Spirit of Christ. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live in my mortal genes, in my body, that this is now Christ Jesus. And this heavenly treasure of this wonderful mind of life and understanding and spirit must be made manifest in my mortal gene until it penetrates to my countenance, that it might shine as the brightness of the noonday to the change that was seen as Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration when he appeared in glory between Moses and Elijah. So then we know that we are not natural beings anymore. We are born to the Spirit, and he that is born to the Spirit is spirit. For the first man Adam was made a living soul, the second man Adam was made a quickening spirit. And we've been born to the second man Adam that makes us quickening spirits. We're now spiritual. And Paul said, I would that you were spiritual, because I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. And Jesus said in the fourth chapter of John to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you might have it revealed to your understanding as to that invisible world, because there's no way to serve God. There's no way to know God. There's no way to get close to God. There's no way to read about God, study about God, learn about God, to come near God, to ever understand God, to ever touch God or know about God in your natural being. Oh, wretched man that you are, Paul said, poison of asp under your tongue, and ye are a generation of vipers. You are on your belly because he hath put you on your belly from the garden. And all of your labor is from your belly, because your belly and your mouth craves it of you. And you are a generation of vipers. For it was the vipers through the beast and through that fall in the garden that caused the problems. And in Adam all die. All of his posterity comes to death and reaches right on down to Calvary, that none in Adam shall get by. All must die in Adam, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, because the sentence of death is in the body of the wretched man, which is called the body. You know, we don't like to think about that. We don't like to entreat that, because we like that body. We like that face. We like doing things. We like eating and drinking. We like buying and selling, and we like to say, God, we love you, and God, we want you. But God, we want you on these bases, that we are the body, and we're going to have a good time and eat and drink and be merry and all these things and prosper. And because I know you said you want us to prosper and be in health above all things. And so off they go as to the preachers of the world and those of vanity and those that follow Satan, that's anointed of Satan to drive and to preach prosperity and blessings and health. And of course, that is God's blessing, God's help, God's word, even as Satan quoted the word to Jesus. That is God's word, but God didn't send us on a tangent to do that. We're supposed to have that. That's our blessing. But he told us what we need to do at the present moment is to accept the fact that this body is dead but Calvary. It is a wretched thing. And Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, seeing that this thing is wretched and poison under its tongue? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body, seeing that inwardly I have a desire to do good, but outwardly I find the law warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to sin and death, which is in my members, for there's no good thing within my body. And he said, the will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I know that it's not me, Paul said, because inwardly I delight in the things of God, but outwardly, he said, I see something else warring against me, which is sin. So he said, I know that it's not me, but oh God, what can I do? I'm in captivity to this beast. I'm in captivity to this thing. I'm in captivity to this contrariness. And there's a continual warfare between my body and my spirit. And my face wants to be looked at, and my eyes wants to do its thing, and my ears wants to do its thing, and my five human senses want to do their things. And on the inside, there's a desire for Christ. He's been crucified, and he's being oppressed, and he's trying to get through the veil of this contrary thing of iniquity. Oh my God, what can I do? What can I do? He said, I try to keep under this body, and I don't let my life get out into this body to follow the frolics of these things, but I stay under my body, and I bring it into subjection like a bridle on a horse. He said, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. He said, and I have to put this body down, have to deny my five senses, and I have to put my foot on the head of that old serpent, that intellectual serpent that's always looking for diplomacies and looking for the things of the world, looking for exuberance and wanting to project himself. And I deny my flesh, and I fast, and I pray, and I do without, and I bring it under subjection, always trying to do something to become a spiritual being and bring out the spiritual Christ and lift up to Christ and put down the outer man called me. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So when we come to these things, we know that we've got a battle. We know there's something going on. It's not a matter if I don't chew and don't dip, you know, and I don't do these little things over here, and I can count my beads and be ritualistic, and as to what formalities I go through, and as it was with the Jews, as the tradition of the elders, and have my religious exuberance of what I'm going to be and who I'm going to be and what I'm going to look like, whether on television or in the church. See, that's not the way it is at all. God wants the death of you. He wants the death of your body. He despises your image. He said, in the morning I will despise your image. It is born of Adam. It is death. It is a beast. It is evil. It is wretched. Even scientists knows it goes back to the old animal. See, he said, but I've done something for you. I have come in the configuration of an image as a body. I took your sins and I went to Calvary and I took all of your sins and I was bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of your peace was put on my back and the whip was laid on me, so that you could have peace and not be beat, and so that you could live and not be crucified, and so that you could go on being a human being in the world and not go through these excruciating things that I've had to go through for you. And I've exchanged places with you, and I've become perfect and lived the perfect life, and I was filled with the Spirit of my Father, and I did always the thing that pleased my Father, and I did it all for you. You're God's workmanship in me. And they said, well, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. I'm doing it all. Before the world ever was, it was finished from the foundation of the world, and your names were written down in the Lamb's book of life. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, the children not yet being born, having done no good or evil, that he might stand according to election, and him call him that calleth, rather than by works, blessed be by works, and some man would boast. He said, the works is by me. It's my blood. I'm the one to be glorified. I'm the one to be praised. You haven't done anything. All of you have corrupted your way before God. All of your religious activities mean nothing. You've not sought me. Somebody says, oh, I sought God. He said, you never sought me. I sought you. You was contrary, going to your own way, doing your own thing. Every man turning to his own way and looking to his own quarter for his own gain. Let the house of God lay waste. You never sought me. I sought you. I sought you. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now that I've found you, we are to deny ourselves. We're to say, Lord, I'm dead by your body. You killed me. You despised this image. And now it's morning. John is now bringing the morning. For he said, now the true light shineth. Ever since Calvary, the great light has been here. And what is the light? It's understanding. What is the darkness? It's ignorance. So then now the true light is shining, and the darkness is now past. And the Bible said, great light is spring up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. And now that great light came when Jesus come, for he said, I'm the light of the world. And there he was when he went away. He said, now you're the light of the world. See, and let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. The works of righteousness, the works of holiness, the good godly understanding. Not going after the world and robbing the people and conning the people and pulling your evil deals like missionaries and preachers and all these people do. God have mercy on your wretched souls. You're worse than anybody that ever come on the surface. So then when it comes to these kind of things, we know that God sought us, and we know that this body is wretched, and we know that we've got to get rid of it. We know we've got to put it aside, and we've got to bring out the second man, the Lord from heaven, the angelic, the inner man. And we now have been baptized into Christ as a barrel to show our death at Calvary. And now we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we've received the wonderful Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Christ, because we've been baptized in his lovely name, having been been buried in baptism in his name. Now we're alive forevermore. We are now a new creature, having passed from death unto life. We're now yielding our members as those that are alive from the dead to Christ, conquering our five senses, taking them away from Satan and the lust and desire of the flesh, and giving them to Christ, that we might be a living sacrifice every day, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought that he may have his body, and that the mind of God may come back and take his body, because it's been stolen by the spirit of lust. And our body is given to him because it's his body. We lost ours through sin, and he purchased this with his own blood. And it's the purchased possession that's going to be changed into that celestial being at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So then we know that we are free from sin. We're dead to the body of sin. We're dead to the things of the world. We're free from all of that. And folks, let me tell you something. When you take that and take this preaching, and then you go out and say, I'm free from that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm thus and thus. Look at my face and my body. Let me project myself. I'm the man of the hour. You ain't good enough to be killed. You are so bogged down in the mire as a pig and a dog until you ain't fit to be killed. The Bible speaks of the swine and the dogs, and they lap their own vomit and they wallow in their own mire. But when you look at this and you say, well, my God, what that preacher is saying is right. That's what the Bible says. And what I've got to do is get that face out of my face when I look into the mirror and say, wretched man that you are, what do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You contrary thing, get out of my way and put your foot on his head and deny him and put him down and release Christ on the inside of you as a little babe. Let it grow up and let it take over and push your old dirty mind out and your old dirty senses out. The Bible speaks of the filth of the flesh, and get them old dirty senses out and renew and rejuvenate and go through the washing of the waters of regeneration and come out a new creature, clean and holy, and say, my God, here I am, innocent like the dove. I wouldn't do nothing to offend you, oh God. I wouldn't run after that flesh and go whoring after the world for nothing in the world. I'm not going to whore after my face and my body, and I'm not going to whore after passions of the body and the love of the world and money and the vain jinglings of this life. I'm not going to have the lust of my flesh and the lust of my eyes and the pride of my life and go after the things of the world. I'm not going to do it, Lord. I wouldn't do that for nothing in the world and offend you. Then, folks, you're on the right trail. You're the right kind of fellow. Jesus said, I do always the things that please my Father. Everything that pleases my Father. And before Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, he said, and I do always the things that please the Father. Or that is, he said, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So then the keynote of the whole thing is, do I do the things that please the Father? Do I acknowledge the Word in all of my ways that he might direct my path? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever to every generation? If I have the Word today, is he the same? Do I go to the Word to find my every desire? Do I go to the Word to rehearse it that I might have the mind of Christ as the Word? Do I go to the Word to acknowledge it that it might tell me exactly to the T and to the detail what to do? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm with you, and I'm with you, and I know I'm with you, and wherever you go, I will go, and I will be like Ruth. I know you're lying. I know you're lying. See, I can tell by your spirit. I try to walk in the spirit, and your spirit automatically emanates from you. And it doesn't come out like that. Though you're good folks, though you're fine folks, and numbers of you do love the Lord, and numbers of you, your spirit does emanate out and come. And we are one in the spirit, and we're linked together, and we're one body as to the membership. The others, though they try their best to absorb this and project their spirit to be one with mine, and though they seem to be the finest among us and the most innocent, I tell you with my hand raised to heaven, they are not connected with me. Our spirits does not connect. I will not present them to God in the day of judgment. The minister has to present the people to God as his sheep, and I must stand there. I cannot present you because you are not my sheep. Your spirit is not lined up with God's spirit, nor my spirit. You have your own ambition and your own desire. by and doing your own thing. And no matter how much you try to convince me, even sometimes like Esau with tears in your eyes, you're still in the same condition. You haven't been born again. You don't have God's Spirit. You are a believer and you're ambitious in a fleshly way to do a fleshly thing, a worldly thing, to get out of the world and its exuberance to do those kind of things. And I have nothing to do with you. So we pass on here and we preach this gospel. Have this wonderful thing is taking place. Now, we're just going to try to drop in a few little things here because there's no possible way to get into our message. It would take at least 2 hours or 3 hours. But let me say this to you as a reminder. In the beginning, tonight, maybe we'll enlarge on this a little bit, or through the revival, I thought if I get to preach some through the revival, that we would enlarge on this thing as to what we're trying to get over about the beginning. Remember this and let this lodge in your mind. You are nothing but a beast. Someone would say, well, I'm insulted, Brother Pike. I'm insulted. They went to Jesus and they said, know ye not, Jesus, that the Pharisees and scribes are offended because of this saying? He said, leave them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. He didn't apologize. He knew that they were blind. He said they're blinded by the darkness of the ignorance that's on the inside of them. They are not children of light. They've never been enlightened. They've never been born again. They've never received the Spirit of Christ. It doesn't matter how much you believe, what you join, what church you belong to, or what your doctrine is. The Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And if you have His Spirit, you have eternal life, and it is utterly impossible for you to sin. Always remember that. Somebody said, well, from one revival to another, I sinned and then I backslid and I sinned. There is no such thing with a Christian. A Christian cannot backslide, though sometimes we use the terms just to get it over to you because that's your terminology as to understanding, but a Christian cannot backslide. The Bible said, I have healed their backsliding. I've accepted them in a day and I have succored them and I've kept them from death. And God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death. Appointed unto death once to die, but He loosed them at Calvary, and we pass from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation, and nobody can lay anything to our charge. We're God's elect by foreknowledge. You cannot sin, for the Bible said, he that is born of God is to the interwovenness of the Spirit of Christ in you. He keeps himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. He can never sin. The Bible said he cannot sin because he is born of God, and the seed of God remaineth in him. Therefore, he cannot sin. Therefore, he cannot die. Well, it'd take a long time to go into that, and most of you are familiar with it anyway, of why you can't sin. But we are God's children, and because we are God's children, we hate the flesh. We hate all of the world and all that's in it. And Jesus said, lest you hate your own life and despise that image. The Bible said, despising the garment that stained with sin, which is the bodily image, hating it. And pulling those souls out of the fire. And unless you hate your own life as of that life that you've lived and that what you are and all that you stand for and all that you've ever been, forgetting those things that are behind, unless you hate that image and hate yourself like God, then God couldn't be in you. For He said, I'll hate your image. I'll despise your image when the morning come. And now morning has come. Calvary has come. The light has been revealed. And now the light of the world is here. And He despises your image. If you are still in that image from here on out, the devastation of God is upon you. And He'll burn you with fire. I'll cast her into adultery and her children into adultery and burn them with fire. I'll take them to the valley of blood till the blood runs to the horse's bridle, all the nations. So then when we see this, we know the wrath of God's on its way. The judgments of God are on its way. And we realize that Calvary has come. Now the light is here, and great light is spring up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. And now the darkness is past, and the veil has been rent. The intellectual veil of this old body of contrariness has been rent. And now as the metamorphosis of the butterfly, that has been released from the worm of the cocoon. Now we're heavenly creatures that dwell in heaven, translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, for God has chosen us out of the world, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, buried our body in a watery grave, and pointed to that body that's at the right hand of the Father, that when it appears, we shall be like Him, for we are the body is to the purchased possession. By his blood we've been purchased. And at that time it'll be revealed and we'll change into that glorious celestial being that God predestinated us to be. Taking our sins from us, not imputing our trespasses unto us, because we hate the carcass. We hate the old cocoon. We hate the mold part. We're shedding off. We're coming out in the beauty of the butterfly. So then that means that the light has now come and the true light now shineth. The Bible says now immortality, eternal life has finally come to light. And God has given us this in Christ before the world ever was. Christ crucified in the foreknowledge of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and our names written down in blood in the book of life, and then predestinated by what he foreknew of us unto that wonderful work of God is predestinated in Christ, having chosen us as his workmanship in Christ Jesus, made us complete in him. And now won't impute our trespasses unto us, making us without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, glorified, justified, sanctified, predestinated. We keep ourselves and the evil one toucheth us not. So a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, and then send a ministry to reveal this to our minds through the wonderful tutoring of the word, that we might develop the mind of Christ. Peter said to stir up this pure mind, that it might reach out in the faith of this mind, which is the faith of Jesus Christ, which is called the righteousness of God, even the faith of Jesus Christ. When this comes into us, to reach out and take us into his wonderful presence, transformate our mind, and bring us to the transfiguration of this wonderful life of the body. So then we can see that this wonderful thing is happening to us and that we are children of God. And everything is just set for even this camp meeting, the last episode. That's what they're calling it. And this I want you to think on. Now that this light has come, immortality is at last being revealed. I am now revealing to you, and yet not I that speak, but God, telling you that you are immortal. You are immortal. At last, children of God, immortality has come to understanding. Now, I say to you that you are eternal. I have people that I'm speaking to today, whether this goes abroad throughout the world in literature, on television, radio, or here just a congregation at Little Bethlehem, I'm telling you that you are immortal. You are the children of light, the predestinated. Paul preached and the Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believe. The rest that were not ordained unto eternal life did not believe. He shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own head. So I'm telling you that you are immortal. It doesn't matter. You might be in this, or feel like, well, I'm in this body and I am fragile and things happen to me and I get sick and all kind of things take place. It makes no difference. The body has nothing to do with it. It profiteth nothing on the inside. You're an angelic being translated into the Spirit of Christ dwelling in heaven, and you are eternal. You are immortal. You've got eternal life. And even though that's just a reflection to some of you, that strikes your mind and it's a vanity, just like watching television, it's a vanity to you that you don't even conceive it. See, but it's not a vanity to the real. It's not a vanity to the true. It's not a vanity to the elect. It's a conception of seed that comes with life and a stimulation, an activation to bring them to that wonderful eternal life and eternal riches and power and rule that they're predestined to by the foreknowledge of God. And though you be ever so religious and ritualistic, ye cannot have it. He has hid these things from the Einsteins of the world and the wise and prudent, and revealed them unto babes, such as are willing to learn. So out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath perfected praise. We stand here telling you about immortality. It is at last come to understanding. It has at last come to your understanding. And now those that can hear the voice of God come forth from the dead. For this is the hour of the coming forth from the dead, like the vision I had where he sent me. And I went over the graveyard this way, over in the night. And I was flying over this great graveyard. And I was way up in the heavens. And I was going over the graveyard at night. And I began to scream out, come out of the graves, come out of the graves. And nothing didn't happen. And I kept going and kept going. And then all of a sudden I screamed again. I said, come out of the graves. And that quick, They popped out of the graves. It's like popcorn coming out. And they begin to be resurrected. And Jesus said unto you, you are dead in trespasses and sin while you live. You're pointed unto the judgment of death, and the sentence of death is within you. And you're caught in the cocoon of death and the beast. And yet God is going amongst the graveyard. Your whited sepulchres that appear beautifully outwardly, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. But he's calling to those that are not so. He's calling you out from among the dead, saying, come out from among them. Be a separate people. Why look ye for the living among the dead? And he's calling, and his voice is calling, saying, come out. It's night. You're in the darkness of this world, gross darkness, covering the people. And the voice of God speaking, saying, come out. Come out of the graves. Come out of the graves. The resurrection is here. Come out of the graves. That's vanity to you. That's foolishness to you. The things of God are foolishness to the intellectual man. He cannot know them. He cannot understand them. It thrills him to be able to record them vanity-wise and go out there and tell somebody and scream at them, glory to God, come out. I'm the man of the hour, and all these kind of things, to project his natural visage in his body so that God will despise him, to get in the way of the voice of God, and to take the glory from God as to the image of the beast, which is Lucifer. See, but I'm telling you, as Christ speaking to you, God is concerned about your soul, not your wealth. He's not concerned about your pocketbook and your money. He's not concerned about your home and your wealth. He's not concerned about your faith. He's not concerned about your body. He's concerned about your soul. He has devastated the body. He hates the image. He's devastated the world, all of it, and foreknowledge is already devastated. And he's going to bring it to pass in the middle of Daniel's last week. In the middle of the week, when the angel sets one foot on the land and one on the sea, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. And he's already took care of that. But he's trying to get you out of there. He's saying, Lot, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible said the very hour that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and the brimstone came. And today it's Sodom. I said that they'd license sodomy, and they have, and they give it its freedom, and they have. And I said it'll come to pass, and then God will burn the world, and he will. So then it's time for the church to come out now. He said, don't stay out there. If you agree with them and walk with them, you're one with them. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Come out of those graves. Get out of the cocoons of your old intellectual death. For to be carnally minded is death. To have a desire for the world is death. To have the love of the world in you is death. Come out of there as that spiritual man. Pull out of that old cocoon. Get out of there like the butterfly in the metamorphosis and get into the heavenly places. And get away from that. Like Brother Branham said one time, get away from the mountain because they're about to cave in. Those cattle knowing the tremors and feeling it moving away from the mountain because the mountain's about to crumble on them. And they were running for their lives, getting away. You get away from there because they're coming down. They're coming down. Every high hill shall be made low and every valley shall be brought up. So to make plain the way of the coming of the Lord, make his way straight. Now the crooked shall be straightened out, and the Lord shall bring to pass that wonderful love divine that he promised to bring as to faith to translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God. Not day after tomorrow, but right now. For the kingdom of God is right now. And the kingdom of God has come into your life right now. And the kingdom of God is at hand right now. And the Bible said, I and my Father will come, and the world will not see us, but we will come and dwell inside of you, and we shall walk in you, and live in you, and dwell in you, and the world shall not see us, but ye shall see us. So then the second time without sin unto salvation I will appear, and so he hath. Then the coming of the Lord unto judgment as to the Jews and to the Gentiles will come right at the first of Daniel's last week when the heavens will roll open. But friend, it doesn't have anything to do with you. You have nothing to fear. There'll be no judgment to you when they cry saying, where are the rocks? Mountains fall on us. Running to the cave saying, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to abide? But it won't be with you because all of that's over. Calvary was your judgment. God hit that body of Jesus with all of his force and wrath. And now your judgment is passed in Israel. Your warfare is accomplished. And we're free. We're children of freedom. We're free forevermore. Free from death. Free from poverty. Free from sickness. Free from bondage. I'm talking about real deliverance. Body, soul, spirit, and mind. Real God children. People that are called gods that shall rule and reign with a rod of iron from the time the child is born, caught up to the throne to rule and reign with a rod of iron. You've been translated into the kingdom. You've been born. You've been caught up to the throne. You have the word of his mind to rule with a rod of iron, to break in pieces the powers of legislation of all the world, that you might establish the doctrine of Christ and God's rules and regulations in the earth, because you're his chosen people. And all the world will take a bow, and everyone will come and kneel before you. Know that God's in his temple, whose temples you are, and they will come and see this marvelous light, and they'll be afraid of you because you're called by his name, and they'll see this wonderful wisdom. And the Bible said your wisdom will be so great as when the Jews went into Canaan that all of the nations were afraid of them. So I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. That means that everything is well with us. Everything is well with us. Remember this. I'm just going to drop this thought because maybe I can enlarge a little bit on it tonight. But remember this one thing. And that is, you are nothing but a molecular structure. Just keep that in mind. Nothing but a molecular structure. Makes it a little hard at night for me to minister to you, because you go eat and drink and ride, get tired in your body, your nerves, your senses all pulled down. You're not very perceptive. But tonight, if we get to speak to you, or whatever, whenever we get to speak to you, I'd like to talk a little bit about this and kind of break it down just a little bit to make it a little more in the affirmative and a little more positive to you as to what is taking place and who you are and what you are and what you are not. As to them that are not, as to what they are not. You know, and to them that are, as to what they really are. So then, when you come tonight, try to enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Try to enter into his gates with praise. Try to take a little time to relax and meditate on God a little bit today. And just don't eat and drink and ride and laugh and wear yourself out and not be fit for nothing tonight. Because it is the beginning of camp meeting today, because it goes right on into Monday. You know, there's no broken intervals between now and then. So try to do a little something to get into prayer. And whatever it takes, so that you can be receptive, that the word might go forth, that somebody who has not been edified might get something, and those that are not saved might get saved. Because if you already know, that's good and well. It's required of you that ye should help someone else, and come here that you can help someone else. And if you don't do that, then God will require it of you. If you sit in the seat of the scornful, stand in the way of sinners, and your delight is not in the laws of the Lord, then God will get you. If you don't come through those gates with thanksgiving, into these courts with praise, God will get you. Come into his house making praise and melody in your heart to God. For the Bible said God inhabits the praise of his people. God is a spirit. And when you come in here to worship God. Let's stand together. Glad to have you this morning. Appreciate you being here. We had some visitors that were supposed to come. There's numbers of people from different states have already called. They're coming in and they're perhaps not here yet. But they will be. And they're looking forward to coming to fellowship with you. And then, of course, there's probably some that's already got here. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to talk with them or fellowship. I do know that our missionaries are here, for which we're very grateful to have. And our brother James and brother Janelle, I believe his name is. Brother Janelle from out of India will correct that tonight if it's wrong. And the brother James from out of Kenya are coming in from Paris, France. And you'll be getting acquainted with them during the camp meeting and having some fellowship with them. They'll be able to tell you a little bit about the problems that they're encountering in their country. Right now, we're kind of thriving off of the thought of what America is doing, good or bad. And they're trying to learn a little bit about our own frontiers, since this is where we're launching a program. That reminds me, something comes to my mind. We was, I think, one of my first cousins and maybe her daughters was planning to come up. Maybe to be here tonight or be here today sometimes. But anyway, her name, Inez, she's supposed to be here. and maybe be with us in the camp meeting some. I don't know. When she comes in, you'll get to meet her. And some Carters were supposed to come out of Kentucky, I believe it was. Some people that was in our meeting there. And they have a work there in Kentucky. And they're coming down or maybe already are here. And then there's people that call up near the West Virginia line right there, the West Virginia line, or at the Virginia line, whatever it is up there. We've ministered up in that area. And they are faithful followers, and they'll be here. And there's a number of other families. I can't get it to register right now, but a number of them have called. Somebody called from Salem, North Carolina, was it, yesterday? And there was another family, too. I can't get it to register. They called and said they wanted to come down. So calls are coming in, and David Paul was telling me that in those things that went out, that they sent out as to the little circulars, said they went out and that the recorder on the telephone was already filled up with people that have called wanting to be a part in the camp meeting. But anyway, we're looking forward to the wonderful things of God, and we're looking forward to fellowshipping you. And if we can say any kind of words, any kind of thoughts that might help program your mind to eternal life and program your mind to escape the wretched thing of the old serpent body and get in the spirit and become a Christian and a new creature, and enlighten you to the real truth, the real gospel of eternal life and the pleasure of God, then we delight in doing it, the better that we like it, because we thrive off of that. But nevertheless, if we don't, we'll just exhort you a little bit through the camp meeting as to whatever time we preach, and enjoy fellowshipping with you. Let's sing a little chorus together, then we'll let you go. Be careful today. When you go out to lunch, the Bible said, watch and pray. You need to watch and you need to pray. And you need to have faith. Three things you need to do. You need to believe. You need to watch. You need to pray. If you don't do all three of those things, you're going to be in trouble. But if you do those three things, God will abundantly bless you, pour out His life upon you, and you'll have a real rich, wholesome day. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder rolls no more, till the lightning has gone forever from the sky, guide my feet, Lord, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm goes by. Sing it again. Until the storm cloud pass on over, till the thunder rolls no more, till the lightning has gone forever from the sky, guide my feet and hold my hand, keep me, Savior, let me stand, keep me safe till the storm goes by. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Sing that with me. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Sing it again. Fill my cup, Lord. For I lift it up, Lord. Come quench the thirsting of
my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole.
Let's sing a little chorus two together. While we're singing, the altars are open. You're welcome to come. I say this so often, that if you haven't made the great commitment to God, now's the time to make the commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And indeed he is. So while we're singing, the altars are open, the beginning of camp meeting. And if you're not prayed up, get prayed up before night. And if you're planning to be a part of the camp meeting to try to believe for the healing of people, the salvation of people, then get yourself in gear, as we say, and be a blessing. As Peter Marshall said, don't be part of the problem, but part of the answer. Don't just be a weight, be a strength. Help carry the load. Come with thanksgiving and praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Let's sing that little chorus, Brother Taylor. Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving down in our hearts. Enter into these courts with praise. Let us say this is the day the Lord made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. So I'll enter into the gate with thanksgiving down in my heart. Enter into these courts with praise. Say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus. Sing it again. Jesus made me glad. Can you sing it with me? Can you sing it like you mean it? It's the beginning of camp meeting. I want to hear you sing out. I want to see you clap your hands. The Bible said, clap your hands, all ye people. All ye people, clap your hands. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lord Jesus made me. Are you glad? Do you feel glad? Let me see you clap your hand if you feel glad. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say I love you Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel like I'm at home. Hallelujah. Can you give him a hand? Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus. One more time. So I'll enter into the gate with thanksgiving down in my heart. These courts with praise. Say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus. Sing it with me now. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. If you're glad, let me know it. Made me glad. I want to see if you can praise the Lord like you work. I saw you working hard and sweaty. Let me see if you put that much into worshiping God. Don't want to get unbalanced.
Jesus made me. Lord Jesus made me glad. Come on, ladies, I want to see you do the same thing. You work hard at home. The kitchen work, you work hard. I want to see you put some effort into worshiping God. Love Him with all of your strength, with all of your heart, with all of your mind. Come on, let me see you worship the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. I want to see all of you worship the Lord this morning. I'd like to start camp meeting off with a real, real praise for God. If God inhabits the praise of His people, we need to be praising Him. Isn't that right? It's camp meeting time. We need to get loose for God and do something for God. Hallelujah. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, Jesus. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their stead. And He gave His life on the cruel cross of Calvary. God for His wonderful way. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I'm gonna see His with Him. Gonna see forever. God for His mother. Come on, folks. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. Can you give Him a wave offering? Can you give Him a wave offering? Can you give Him a wave offering? God pours marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see it with faith. Him I'll abide there forever. Oh, marvelous. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Him a hand. That's good. Hallelujah. To worship the Lord, to come together with thanksgiving, to love the Lord. Me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, it's good enough for me. Me love everybody, love everybody, love everybody, and good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, it's good enough for me. Makes me shout when I get happy. Shout when I get happy. Shout when I get happy. Good enough. I've got that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Good enough for me. It will take us all to glory. Take us all to glory. Take us all to glory. And good enough for me. You'd better get the old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Good enough for me. We've got that time religion. Old time religion. We've got that old time religion. Good enough for me, Lord, give me that old time religion. religion. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up. It's good to be here this morning. I'm looking for you to come back tonight with the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And wherever you go, the kingdom of God goes, because the kingdom of God is within you. It isn't like you leave it at home, you know. And when you come together, it's the kingdom of God. And when two or three come together in His name, He is in the midst of us. So while we're here, let's sing this little chorus that we sing so often. I want to praise Jesus. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people. Oh, His blood has washed the weary stain. Sing it again now. So I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us in glory, all people, for His blood has washed away our stain. Now we want to sing it one more time. Remember, when you come together to praise the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God inhabits the praise of His people. Sometimes I hear y'all strumming on the guitars and the banjos and just hollering and screaming. And my, at the noise you do make, women and men alike, just hollering and going on. And I think, well, there's one thing about it. They're either praising the Lord or they sure are acting foolish. So if you've been praising the Lord all that time, then I want to hear some of them praises in church. And know that it wasn't foolishness, or I'm going to think it's a lot of foolishness when you get over there doing all those things. Will that be all right? Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. We're going to sing that one more time together. Let's sing it together. I will praise Him. But ask Brother Billy Kirk, if he will, to come and dismiss us. If Billy's here. The Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing that with me? Give Him. Can you lift your hands up with me? Close your eyes. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. Can you do that? Just close your eyes. Let the musicians close their eyes too. Then close your eyes when I ask them to close their eyes and still play. Just close your eyes in reverence. It's a lot better when the musicians close their eyes too, because they're looking all around. You got your eyes closed, and some of them let those evil spirits get a hold of them. Just let them all close their eyes. Lift your hands up and let the Lord have His preeminence to worship the Lord. Can you sing that? And I'll give Him glory, people. you. We're going to sing it one more time together. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.